Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
It's a Wednesday edition of the End of the Bench here on 100.7 The Score. We are live in the First United Bank Studios. You can hit us up through the Yates Flooring Center chat line if I can remember my password because I only have my cell phone. You can also hit us up on the Benchmark hotline, 806-771-0973.
You're minimalizing. All our guests.
What's
that? Minimalizing. This was on purpose. You're trying to declutter.
I'm minimal.
You're just trying to just do what you have to, but with the bare minimum equipment. It's admirable.
No, it's not. It's stupid.
It happens.
So here's what happened. I'm in charge of taking the Mick today to daycare over in Wolforth. She has a lunch bag, a clothes bag, three Barbies, a blanket, and herself. And so as I was gathering up her plethora of stuff to take into daycare, I completely forgot my bag.
You got the important stuff.
Yeah, I guess so. And she's passed out, of course, because she goes to bed at midnight. And so it's like carrying a big old sack of potatoes.
Yes, yeah.
You know, dead weight.
Yeah.
Take her in there, lay her down. God bless her. Tell somebody she's passed out. Everybody else is outside. I have to go tell one of the teachers, hey, Mick's passed out in here. Okay, I'll see you later. I'm running behind. So that's my morning. How are you doing? Taylor Beatles in with us here this Wednesday.
I'm doing good. I think this is I said this last week and I lied because I think this is my last fill-in show.
The last one. Congratulations. Yeah. I'm leaving. You can have it all to yourself. Get all your opinions in.
That's right.
Without me being in your way.
So I'll have my hot sports opinions ready for football season, but I'm ready to get started.
Hot takes.
That's right.
I'm sure you've been doing a lot of work, right?
Yeah.
Because, we live by Upland Heights where my boy goes, mm-hmm. and the parking lot's full.
Yep. That started back this week, and I had to go. It was new teacher, and so since I switched jobs, I'd go to 2 days, but it all teachers come back Monday, so, yep.
I was checking out at United yesterday. This little girl who's checking us out starts talking to Perry. You ready to go back to school? Perry's like, no, I'm not. And she's like, so she's the cashier.
Mm-hmm.
And then at United, you know, they have the baggers, and they take your bags out to the car. Well, another little girl comes up. She goes, today was my registry day. The other girl was like, well, mine's tomorrow. And it's like, where are you going to school? Friendship? Me too. What grade are you going into? Junior. Yeah, me too. So they became best friends right there in front of my eyes.
There you go.
Yesterday marked the first day that we didn't talk about realignment until the end of the show, Taylor.
All right.
So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's been kind of holding us up all summer long.
Definitely.
No longer.
No.
It's bitten the dust, I think.
I would have lost the bet because I would have thought there would have been more movement. I think when it first happened, I said like end of next week, you know, when USC and UCLA left, that there would have been more
three times by Friday.
Yeah.
End of business Friday.
So, but I get the holdup, you know, I guess maybe it's just justifying my wrong take, but we've talked about it. Your mark really has to decide what moves are best for the Big 12, and I don't think it's as simple as everyone in the public thinks.
Okay. What do you think it is?
I think you basically have to weigh relevancy versus dollars.
Yes.
Because you're more relevant as a conference adding schools, especially from another Power 5 conference, but the money isn't more. You're going to be splitting probably the same amount of money among more schools, so each school gets less. And I'm sure the current Big 12 schools are kind of like, whoa. Our piece of the pie is smaller because we want to add some 4 more schools. Let's talk about this. So I would assume that's what your mark is having to decide, which is more important. I lean relevancy, but it's not my money. So
yeah, and then it's not just not your money, it's 12
yeah.
separate entities
right.
that yeah. are going to be talking about that pie once Texas and Oklahoma are gone. So,
right.
Yeah, so I think what you say makes a lot of sense. And how do you judge that? How do you weigh that? I don't know. And it makes me laugh a little bit when I look back to when the news broke about UCLA and USC. And I was just like, now, move now. Like, it could actually happen, right. You know, because they were really blindsided. I think they were as blindsided as the Big 12 was about the OU and Texas news. That's why they were calling it, got bulls beat.
Right. It became a verb.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever become a verb?
Probably.
I did once, and it was bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure in a coach's office somewhere, I did something that was...
Pulled the Beatles.
Yeah.
Oh my God! You see that guy pull the Beatles?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got girls on this side of the bus, boys on this side of the bus. We don't want a Haxton happening here.
Oh no!
And that was at a different school.
Word travels fast.
In my little brother had to absorb that long after I was gone. Let's welcome back in Lucas. What up, Lucas?
Right. Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Not too bad.
Good to see you.
Yes. Good to see you. That trip was crazy.
Tell us about it.
Well, first of all, it's very hard to get into Atlantic City because they don't have any flights in. So we flew from here to Dallas, and then we flew from Dallas to Baltimore. And then we drove from Baltimore to Atlantic City, which is another about 3.5 hours.
I was wondering, why couldn't you get to Newark or something?
Well, we could have flown to Philly, but we would have to get on another plane. So we just kind of decided just to drive. Mm-hmm. And flying out of Baltimore is a little easier than flying out of Philly, coming back home. So that was getting there. The experience was like no other. Just one quick story before we go to break.
Did you swim with the sharks?
I did not. We didn't even get in
card
the water.
Card sharks? I'm talking about like card sharks.
Oh, yeah. Those big time
dealers. Okay, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about real sharks. I know you're not in the ocean.
The one quick story. There's a couple had a booth and a bunch of Brady cards or whatever. And they were really busy. One guy asked how much one card was. She asked her husband. She didn't hear him correctly. She thought he said 4,000, but it was really 40,000.
Oh.
She sold it for $4,000.
Oh, that.
I think they filed for a divorce.
Honey, you just cost us $36,000.
That guy knew what he was getting away with, I'm sure. The guy buying the card. Wow.
Yeah, he was like, money.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check. Wow. Well, or probably not a check.
He put $4,000 on the table, took the card, and walked away.
Yeah.
Without a second doubt.
Ran out of wherever y'all were. I've almost said casino, but wherever y'all were.
So, like, big convention hall type situation?
Yeah, it was in the Atlantic City Convention Center. 460,000 square foot. Every inch was used.
Wow.
What you need to know here on this Wednesday, we are live at the First United Bank 100.7 The Score Studios. Got some questions on the chat line we're going to get to in just a moment. Yates Flooring Center chat line is open. And the Benchmark Hotline is open, 806-771-0973. Tough day for the state's baseball teams as the Orioles smack the Rangers 8-2. That makes Lucas happy, though, at least. Red Sox 2, Astros 1. Baseball today, Rangers O's as we shift to afternoon baseball. That'll be at 12:30 on Double T 97.3. And Astros Red Sox 12:40 getaway days here on 100.7 The Score. That'll affect the bottom line, but not us. We'll take you all the way up until noon. Vin Scully passed away at 94. It has been the only good thing about this is all the things on Twitter that have come up.
All the videos.
Mm-hmm. Did you happen to see him narrate the James Earl Jones speech?
I saw it. I didn't listen to it, but I favorited it to listen to late. The best one to me, and you've heard it a million times.
And they put a lot of like timely video with it. Like,
oh, okay.
You know, America's gone by like an army of steamrollers and some really old footage with really new footage. And it was done really well.
I need to watch that. Yeah, I saved it. I thought the video that, you know, everybody was reposting the Gibson home run.
Yeah.
And the thing that you see 88? Somewhere like that. You see it so many times, but you never see the full clip. And what's incredible to me is after he hits it and starts down the first baseline, there's no words. Like, he just lets it marinate, which is probably the best thing you could do there. And then I saw somebody say he got up in the press box, walked over to get a drink of water, and then walked back. And by that time, Gibson around to the bases, and he was ready to keep going. It was like, and that was just the perfect way to handle that, the mastering silence.
You know, the thing that I didn't remember is pretty much when Gibson goes into the full arm pump thing, that deal, where he's like starting the lawnmower.
Yes.
Pretty much it ends after that.
Yeah.
When you see that,
yeah,
they'll cut away.
Right.
When he went, they let it go and he went around third base, he looked like he was crippled.
I know. I thought the same thing. Even, I guess I forget how bad the swing, like he almost falls over on the swing.
True miracle.
Yeah, it was incredible.
Against Dennis Eckersley.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Have you seen the Bash Brothers satire on Netflix?
Yeah. Who? I think I have. Who?
There's Andy Samberg.
Yes. Okay. Yes. 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 I forgot about that.
That play is in that little short.
Yes. Yes. That's right.
Kirk Gibson hit the ball over.
Forgot about that.
Canseco.
Yep.
And McGuire. Let's bash. Let's monster bash.
Genius.
When they're at IHOP, that is just classic.
Andy Samberg is good stuff.
That's pretty funny. 31 days until Suddenlink Game Day Live.
Okay, I've been trying to figure out that acronym the entire time I've been sitting in here. So that makes
what, SGDL?
Yep.
There you go. Now you know. Trade deadline has come and gone. And those are your headlines. Texas Tech soccer and volleyball start this month.
That's right. I saw that.
You got to get ready. Tom Stone's team had its first practice yesterday. I wonder if they are running around going, where are our $25,000 checks?
That's what they break it out to.
Yeah. Everybody else got checks.
I mean, if we're going on merit, they're pretty high up there.
Yeah.
They've been pretty good recently.
All right, let's go to the chat line here. Beatles, let's talk D-line. Level posted a depth chart from his perspective last night and only had 5 true defensive linemen on it.
Yes.
If we only have 5 bodies to rotate in and out, I have some serious concerns. Going to need to get something from freshman McAlpine and Adedire.
The thing to remember there is you're really only talking about 3 spots. So that's 5 still isn't ideal, but that 4th D-line spot, those are quote-unquote linebackers. And so Tyree Wilson, Josiah Pierre, and I know he listed some of these, but you've also, you've got the transfer Robert Wooten from Virginia Tech. You've got bodies. They're just listed differently on the depth chart. And I think Level took that into his way of thinking. And so there are more bodies, but yes, strictly just D linemen that you think of when you think of D linemen, the bigger guys, there aren't very many. And that's the coaching staff was trying to find one of those big, gap hogging,
portal.
Yeah, in the portal, and they just couldn't find one that worked. And so you saw them bring in 2, and I know they're excited about Miles Cole, the guy from Louisiana, but I think it's Vital Scott. They need him to...
Oh, it's got to be Vidal.
Probably, yes, Vidal, yeah. They need him to be able to eat some snaps, so to speak. So, D-line's going to be a concern probably for a year or two, I would imagine. But you've seen... The investment.
It's a concern most everywhere.
Yeah, yes.
Outside
the
of
SEC, basically.
6 teams in the SEC.
Yeah, and probably like Ohio State and Clemson.
Ohio State, yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to end it there, but.
Right, yeah.
I think Michigan puts bodies down there.
Yes, true. Yeah.
Ohio State, Clemson, usually Florida State, LSU, Florida, Bama, Auburn. Tennessee now, Ole Miss,
A&M,
and then we could start to close it down where it's not where it is a problem finding elite defensive linemen. this game's won in the trenches still. Mm-hmm. We love to talk about quarterbacks and running backs, and wide receivers, but man, there's a reason that playoffs and are being achieved by these teams, and it's because they are superior along the lines.
Yes. The thing that I would have some – that you can, you know, have some hope is the guys you do have, Hutchings, Bleedy, Bradford.
I mean, they look the part.
They're good.
Yeah.
And so you may not have the depth you want, but I think, you know, for the first time in a while at Texas Tech, you've got the high end where you're going to be able to compete. It's just now we've got to hope for – you know, like you do every year. We can't afford an injury. You did move Larry Moore over there, the former offensive lineman who's 6'6", 275. So I know he wasn't in Levels depth chart, but maybe he can get some snaps under his belt. So you do have the higher end talent. You may just have to find guys who can, you know, just fill in for some snaps. But like you said, it's going to be a concern. 90% of, you know, radio stations talking about fall camp.
Yeah, wish we had a guy, you know.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. And you can get individuals. You can get, and I think Tyree Wilson is going to fit this mold, where, man, that guy, nobody can block him. Mm-hmm. But the problem is depth.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you'll have Tyree Wilson. You'll have guys like Hutchings and Bradford behind him and Bleedy. And then after that, it's, okay, man, these guys are a little winded. What do we do?
Right. Yeah, and that's where you're hoping somebody like Josiah Pierre, who's just, you know, an athlete, that he can get after the quarterback. There are guys there. Bryce Ramirez, you heard his name talked about from the coaches during the spring. He's another guy who's moved from like a what you think of as a linebacker to more of that DeMarcus Ware type linebacker. You know, LB Moore from Amarillo. Like, you've got guys who you've heard of, who you've heard the coaches talk about. Now it's just kind of like receiver, honestly. We've heard about these guys. They were exciting recruits. Now they just have to do it.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
I do love some watermelon. Mm-hmm. You ever do the watermelon crawl?
I don't think I know.
Remember that song?
I don't think so.
Help yourself some, but obey the law. If you drink, don't drive. Do the watermelon crawl. Don't
Who
remember
sings
that?
That?
I can't remember.
I don't know if I know that.
Hmm. Birthdays today. Oh, Ryan Lochte was born in 1984. Martha Stewart was born in 1941. Martin Sheen, 1940. Tony Bennett, 1926.
Wow. Big day. Here's one I saw that I was surprised by.
Yeah? You got one?
So, Statue of Liberty pedestal reopens to visitors after being closed following the 9/11 attacks. What year do you think that was? It was today, but what year?
When you could finally go back out to the island and stand by it? Oh, gosh. I'll guess 2004.
Yeah, that's right. That was surprising. 3 years.
Yeah.
That's surprising to me.
I remember in the 80s doing one of those three-hour tours around the island.
Mm-hmm.
And they were redoing... Well, I guess resurfacing, cleaning, and they had scaffolding around the Statue of Liberty. And I remember that.
That would be some job to go up on that scaffolding.
Quite a facelift, yeah. World's first theme park opens its doors on this day in 1946. Take a guess of what state.
See, I was going to say just Coney Island. I always kind of thought it was like the oldest theme park. Let's go. I'm going to go Missouri.
Indiana.
Ah.
Close-ish.
Yeah.
Well, really close. 1946. Santa Claus. Indiana. Santa Claus Land is now known as Holiday World and Splash and Safari. In 1900, the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company is founded in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah. Can't help but think of Tommy Boy there.
And yeah.
Callahan Auto.
We sell car parts, brake pads. Tommy just sold 100,000 brake pads. Was that?
Yes.
That's it.
Playing time is not required. This is the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Just got my volleyball and soccer schedule here. Beatles.
Which one's first? Volleyball?
Who starts the first? Yeah. Like first up? Women's soccer.
Oh.
Well, I guess at Tech you can just say soccer.
Right.
8:18.
Who they got?
I don't know.
Oh. I didn't know if you had all the info.
No. See, it's just like this.
Oh, just, yeah, okay.
Nondescript, but yes. Hey, we need you here.
Be here, start talking.
Be here, yeah. Start talking now.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I think both teams will be good.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun.
I like how they do soccer this time of the year at the college level. Like, at the high school level, you're playing December and January and February is the coldest months of the year.
It's always windy.
Yes.
Which it'll be windy for this too, but like windy cold is a little bit different than windy hot.
Yes, absolutely.
Better take your parka to the yard. I really, really badly want to push Perry and Cameron to play golf, but I don't think it's in their future.
Oh yeah.
So let me tell you why. Just released the Texas Tech golf schedule.
Uh-huh.
St. Simons Island, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
Inverness in Ohio. Colonial in Fort Worth. Houston Oaks Country Club. Now we start to roll.
Right.
Okay. Waikoloa, Hawaii. La Quinta, California, PGA West.
Yeah.
Los Cabos, Mexico. Palm City, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Naples, Florida, Phoenix, Arizona, and then the Big 12, you got to go to Lonely Prairie Dunes in Hutch.
It's pretty nice.
You sound pretty good?
Those are some pretty good trips right there.
Pretty good. And not to mention you get to play golf.
But. Yeah, yeah. That's not too bad either.
Give me your... I love the defensive line,
mm-hmm.
what you kind of started the show with. And how that may look. And by the way, let me go back to the chat line here. And again, I'm moving a little bit slower today because I left my bag. let's see. This was Steven way back here about why not a 4-man line? It's better on the run and rush? ?
It will be a 4-man line.
Mm.
But the Tyree Wilson position is technically a linebacker. And that's something that DeRuiter is known for. Like you'll see schemes switched up in the same drive, and like he's not afraid to go 3 down linemen, 4 down linemen, 5 down linemen. I mean, like he'll do all kinds of things, whatever you know that drive that team calls for. He's not married to a system like you will see some defensive coordinators, a lot of offensive coordinators. He will do. I think when he was the head coach at Fresno State, he ran one scheme. When he went to Cal, he ran another. And then when he was at Oregon, he ran several. And so he just does what works. So I trust him to know, to have, you know, learned who we have, what they're good at, what they're bad at, and put them in the best position. It's not like, you know, Gibbs and Patterson where it seemed like this is what they ran and we've got to recruit to it. We've got to fit the roster to it. I think DeRuiter is more... honestly, similar to Kittley in a way, he's a pragmatist. What do we have? How can we make it work? And that's what he's going to do. So, yes, it is. Your fourth defensive lineman might be standing up, but he's a defensive lineman.
Now, I want you to go back into the secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's one area that I probably shouldn't be cloudy on, but kind of paint a picture for us on what it's going to look like.
It's weird to say, but it is probably the strength of your team,
okay.
Maybe. You have, not only do you have depth, but you have, like, with the defensive line, like, your top end is very good. And, you know, you start with the names that you've heard for a long time. I mean, well, I say a long time. The guys, it seems like they've been around a long time, but they're actually, you know, transfers in Rashad Williams, Malik Dunlap, Marquise Waters, Reggie Pearson. Those are all legitimate, all Big 12 caliber players in your secondary. And that's not even to mention, you know, the young guys, Kobe Minor, guys who have been here forever, Adrian Fry. Like you've got guys you're excited about, you've got experience, you've got good, like you maybe your best recruit from the last class, Marion Horn from Oklahoma. He's in that group now. I don't know if he'll get snapped, but he's
was he Broken Arrow?
I have it right here. Yep, yeah, Broken Arrow.
Broken Arrow's turned out some good players.
Yeah, Dadrian Taylor Demerson, Rabbit is back there. I mean, you just all these names you've seen the coaches kind of run out for interviews. They bring to meet like they're your secondary is full of dudes is the best way I can put it. And so you're not going to have problems finding 5, 6, however many you want to put out there. Now determining who plays where and when, that's something for those coaches to figure out, but you've got the bodies and you've got the talent, which I'm having trouble even remembering the last time we've said that about a Texas Tech secondary.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost, I am questioning myself, because I'm just not used to having a good secondary. It's like, surely these guys can't be as good as my brain tells me they are, but I mean, I can't argue with it.
Linebackers is... We're going to get a full defensive preview.
No, that's good.
In hour number one.
Linebackers is probably my biggest concern, actually.
Where it's been, how long? 4, 5, 6 years where it's been a strength?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess ever since, the year you had... Dakota Allen came back, and yeah, with the young Jordan Brooks.
Jordan Brooks, that was a big-time get, and I remember him. That was like the first recruiting class when I moved to Lubbock, okay. I think.
Yeah, and yeah, he was a big one to hold on to, and they were able to. But yeah, so you have Krishan Merriweather, who I think is an outstanding football player. I don't understand why he kind of fell out of the – he had a weird year last year. He started – this season as an important rotation player, fell out of the rotation and then ended the season as your starting linebacker due to injury and played really well in the bowl game. And so you'd assume him and Demetri Moore, the guy from Cedar Hill who transferred from Vanderbilt, you would expect them to be your starters. But linebacker, similar to defensive line, you need more than two bodies because, once again, you're switching up schemes. You may run three linebackers out there. Sometimes you may just have two. So you're wondering, you hear a lot about Jacob Rodriguez. He was in the video when they announced the end zone construction plans. He's from Wichita Falls, transfer from Virginia. He's a guy that I've heard many people
How
who
did he get to Virginia from Wichita Falls?
They said he could play quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Because Tech really liked him out of high school, but they weren't going to lie to him. They're like,
you're not going to be quarterback here.
Yeah, we want you to play linebacker. And I guess he's come to terms with that or realized he wanted to play linebacker. And from people in the know say he is absolutely going to factor in and he is going to play a lot and he is really good. And I really wanted him out of high school. I was disappointed when he went to Virginia. So I'm super excited about him. But again, we haven't seen it. Nobody has. He's been playing quarterback at a different school. I do think they eventually moved into linebacker. But after those guys is where it gets thin. You've got guys like Tyreek Matthews who have been here for a while, but they've mostly been special teams players. Bryce Robinson, again, special teams player. And then you've got a young guy. I know they're really excited about Ty. I don't know if it's Kana or Kana. I think it's Kana. But he's a true freshman. He was playing 5A football last year. So it's hard for me to really depend on a freshman linebacker. So similar to the D-line, I think you have the top-end talent you need when – when those guys need a breather or when they get dinged up, that's when things might get a little hairy. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it. But that's linebacker is probably where I'm the most concerned. But it's still not some of these, dire situations that we've seen in the recent past where you're converting a fullback to play your linebacker and things like that. So you've got bodies, you just don't have a lot of bodies.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Taylor Beatles in his Irish with me, Jeff Haxton, and Lucas, the Card Shark White.
Did you get anything good? We didn't even ask you.
Well,
I picked up a few things.
Cheating crabs.
No, I didn't have any threat. No.
What?
Of course he flew into Baltimore. He just needed to get a whiff of the Orioles' success.
Of course, yeah. Yes.
He could smell Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Yes. I think the best pickup I had all weekend was a 2019 John Morant gold PSA 9. Nice. I picked up for about $2,000.
Were you selling too, or just in the market to
buy? I was selling and trading. Okay. And yeah, all three. So I picked that up for about $2,000. I'm going to hold it and hopefully sell it for about 25, 27 is my goal.
Nice.
So
now you're a big golf fan. That was my biggest
pickup.
My card bounced at United and Lucas is over here chucking around $2,000.
Oh, hoping to make a $25,000 profit off of this.
No, wait a minute. Seriously? Are you, what?
Eventually.
Or yeah. You thought you said 2,700.
No, I'm going to try to make 2,700.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry. So, I was still thinking about Tom Brady 40,000.
Tom Brady collapse.
Yeah, sorry.
Retell that story real quick for our number two listeners.
There was a table with a husband, a wife, and I think another guy. And they were actually really busy, like one of the busiest tables the entire weekend. And I guess some people were talking to the husband. Another person was talking to the wife. And the guy was questioning how much one of the Tom Brady's was actually. And she didn't quite know, but she wanted to ask her husband. But I guess it got lost in the translation.
Because
it was 40. Either too loud or he wasn't paying attention or I don't know. But she thought she heard 4,000 when it was actually 40,000. So dude pulled out 4K in cash, gave it to her, and walked off real quick. So, yeah, those things, unfortunately, they happen not as often. But, I mean,
it's not exactly might as well use hand signs here.
When yeah. you're trying to tell somebody how much it's worth.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Mm. Yeah. So there are $100,000 cards, $1 million cards. Yeah. They had a Mickey Mantle rookie that was going for like $5.7 million. Yeah. A little out of my price range on that one.
Just a little. Maybe next year.
I got a weird conundrum. Right. So I got a request via Twitter yesterday to do big voice walk-ups for a local Little League team.
Okay.
The Spartans out of Leveland.
All right.
Going to 12U.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, most of the time people would, you know, charge for something like that, but I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard.
Right.
You know, I got recording software. I got a headset.
Yeah.
Well, just give me the names.
As long as you remember it, but yeah.
As I remember it?
I'm just making a joke about your
my bag.
Yes.
Low blow. I didn't think that was in your bag, man.
Sorry.
To go after me like that.
Yes.
No, so I get it. The Spartans here. Yeah. Number 5, Jackson Reynolds. You know, I'll be doing stuff like
right,
that.
Right, yeah.
Guess who's in my son's tournament this weekend?
Oh, the Spartans.
The Spartans out of Leveland.
Oh, so, man.
I'm trying to picture. The Diamond Kings against the Spartans. And the other team, you know, they'll combine the walk-up music with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then my voice will come on.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
What do you boys think? Wait one? Because they're going to 12. We're going to 11. We shouldn't cross paths. What, wait one?
That was what I was thinking. If you could wait. I didn't know how many times y'all's paths would cross. So if it's just going to be this time, I would wait one. Or just ask your son. Does it bother you to hear your dad?
Ramping up the other team?
Yeah.
Here come the Spartans!
Maybe it'll be like a water boy. Motivation. I'll just picture your head on the ball announcing the Spartans.
Gatorade is better. Yeah, let's see here. Who's coming to this thing? Diamond Kings, West Texas Smokies, LBA, two LBA teams, Spartan Baseball, and Team Dominators or something. Sorry, my phone went off there.
I was wondering. I thought that was me.
That was a USAA ad. Anyway, just found that interesting.
Yeah, waiting one's probably the right move.
Yeah. Dad, you're ramping up the other team.
Maybe the Spartans are going to make you an offer you can't refuse now.
Yates Flooring Center chat line. Just a heads up, Beatles. Jamie is thinking about drug testing you after your take on fighting sharks.
I will.
What is that? That was not on with me. What was that?
No, I told Clint that I liked my chances against the shark.
Oh, okay.
I just.
You literally. I thought you were like going to put on a shark fight. Like
no.
A,
no, I told him I'll just punch it in the nose. I'll be all right. Clint did not take kindly to that.
Hacks, since Woodman is on the afternoon show today, Janine is going to sneak me past security at the Woodman Estate this afternoon. I'm thinking about playing the front nine.
That's wonderful. It's a good idea.
And then cooling off in the lazy river with a frozen bottle of Rumpel. Any pointers or other attractions to enjoy? Well, don't forget that the lazy river feeds into the grotto, like the Playboy Mansion.
Right.
It's going to be really hot out there, high sun this afternoon, rays coming straight down. So the lazy river might not be enough to cool you off, but if you float towards the east.
Just be patient.
And this is actually near the number one tee. That's where you get into the grotto. So you go back in there, shade, cool breezes, nice and, cool. And the Rumpel will
sounds like set a good plan. It off.
Definitely not the starters. You're on the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hacks, Beatles, and now Zachary David Mose, Sparkman edition of the program. I was thinking about, Zachary Schrute, maybe?
Zachariah Schrute.
Zachariah.
Yeah. That is right.
Zachariah.
That'd be the son of Angela Dwight's name, Zachariah Schrute. See, I thought, when he first came running in there, I was like, man, Spark's been out getting some sun. And then I realized, he just sprinted
down the hall.
Yeah. Yeah, just a steady, brisk walk.
Here, let me ask you. I don't know if you were listening on the way in. Hacks gave his lines, predicted lines.
Yeah, I'm getting killed.
For the first six games. Four of the six, great job. Vegas should hire him. Two of the six, we need to have him tested.
Kooky.
Yeah. So he thinks we'll be favored by 6.5. When Houston comes to town. What are your thoughts there?
I think I'd probably drop that to 3.5.
See, I was leaning 2.5.
I know. I think they'll want to make it more than a field goal. I don't know.
So this is interesting. Tech Hoops guy who we were talking about in the break on Twitter tweets a lot of lines involving Texas Tech. So right now, Houston is favored over UTSA by 6. So you can look at it.
Yep.
Are we a touchdown better than UTSA? Yeah. You would say probably.
Yeah.
So in that sense, we might be favored.
Can't wait to send that screenshot.
And then his other one was we would only be a 6.5 or 6-point dog at NC State. Right now it's 14.
Okay.
14 and a half.
I whiffed on this one. Can I amend it?
No, stand by it.
Okay.
I mean, theoretically,
you're gonna smoke Murray State. You're gonna pop Houston, NC State will trip up a little bit, and that thing will come down to 9.
Let me look at. I haven't even looked at their schedule.
I wish I could see the Houston game because right now,
tough.
Yeah,
I think 14 and a half is a little high. I would probably
for NC State.
Yes, I think I would probably take Tech as many like. If the line was as much as 9.5, I think I would still take Tech. Maybe 10.5. I think it'll be about a 10-point game. But the Houston game could go a bunch of different ways, and that number could shrink or grow. If you lost to Houston, I would probably 14 would be about right.
Yeah.
If you blow Houston out of the water, I'd take that number as low as 7.5.
Right. So they NC State opens with East Carolina, which won't add it at East Carolina, which that won't be
Pirates.
An easy game by any. Then they go to Charleston Southern, which also they have a Pirate logo. So, and then it's Texas Tech, presented by Bojangles, it says on their website. So there's that.
Get some free chicken.
All right. So they could have a less than impressive showing against East Carolina, in my opinion. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. I don't know.
What is Tech Hoops guy now?
That's an excellent question.
A lot. He knows a lot. I enjoy our correspondence. But he did say I was crazy. And that's okay. Yeah, I am crazy.
You'll have those screenshots ready.
Yes. He said on the chat line, UH is a smallish favorite on the road at UTSA. It's no gimme. Yeah, we were talking about that. Mm-hmm. Definitely not a gimme.
Yeah, that'll be a real... I'm actually excited about that game. That'll be a good game.
And doesn't Texas go Alabama, UTSA, us?
I think it's flipped. I thought it was UTSA first. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Hold on.
Because Bama's week two. I just can't remember if UTSA is week one or week three. Yeah.
I think it's...
Do they play Louisiana again? Let's
see.
Region Cajun. That's who they opened up with last year, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they were ranked.
They smacked them.
Which I wonder if there's ever going to be a return trip for Texas to LSU. Maybe that was scheduled for 2020 and obviously COVID. I'm sure that was probably the case. I don't know.
So their non-con is tough too. I mean, ULM isn't what they were, but they do. They open against ULM. Wait, that's Monroe. Not the reason. Nope, yeah, that's Monroe. Sorry. So,
formerly Northeastern Louisiana?
Like that, yeah. And that's in Austin. Then they
used to be all directionals. Because it was Southwest Louisiana.
SCLSU.
Mm-hmm.
South Central. Home of the Mud Dogs.
Mud Dogs. And the drunken cheerleaders. Yes. They're just laying around drinking right out of the bottle. Missouri State used to be Southwest Missouri.
Yeah. Yeah, so they go...
And Memphis State.
Was Memphis? Or is Memphis now?
It's just Memphis.
Yeah. They go ULM, Alabama, UTSA, Texas Tech. That's tough. Especially after playing Alabama. That's going to be a popular upset pick, I bet. UTSA over Texas. They are all at home, I guess, which is nice. But
from the Ace Flooring Center chat line... Got to keep in mind, Tech game is very important to Holgorsen. It was last year as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to know the over-under of Red Bulls Holgorsen has in Lubbock.
Two and a half cases is probably the over-under. I mean, we saw that last year. I was so impressed with his plan to start that game. And I'm a Holgorsen fan. Like, I'm not ashamed by it. I thought he was who Tech should have hired that cycle. I thought he had an incredible game plan. He basically realized we are not going to beat Texas Tech straight up. We have to do everything in our power to junk this game up, to gimmick it. And they did an outstanding. They went for it on every fourth down, the onside kick. They held the ball for forever.
Yeah,
and it almost
worked. It seemed like you never had the ball. Longest time.
You rarely. That was the weirdest first half of football I can remember watching that involved Texas Tech, and it didn't work.
Dad joke segment has jumped the shark. Time to end it. You need to talk to Woodman.
I agree with that, Texter.
And you've got Mark Jones, like, unironically saying, oh, wow, yeah, you know, Houston, they're just really winning the time of possession. Really? The team that hasn't touched the ball the entire first quarter is losing the time of possession?
Incredible.
We don't have to score 100 against Murray State, but it better not be close. Better get backups in and... Yeah. Better hang a 50 burger to keep the hype.
That's been the thing that was like super frustrating, about the Wells era. Is the first year it was Houston Baptist, and then it was SFA, and you're like, come on, guys, please blow a team out.
From the Ace Flooring Center chat line, a picture of a Utah player holding up the Pac-12 championship. More money wouldn't move the dial. Mm-hmm. Let's see. This is from John Wilner, Mr. Breaking News for the Pac-12. Former AD Chris Hill says Utah wants to stay in the Pac-12. Potential revenue bump from joining the Big 12 wouldn't move the dial. Okay. Thank you. I got you now. Use your fake. Yeah.
That's not. That's a lie.
Yeah. Know why it's a lie?
Money.
Because everything we've seen in the history of man and even into 2022, it's money. Money, 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 money. That's it.
That Utah AD is lying. Straight lying.
Wouldn't move the dial. It moves the dial for everybody.
Yeah, that's all that moves the dial.
That's all that moves the dial. You're right. All right, we got headlines coming up next. Keep them coming to the Ace Flooring Center chat line. If you got questions for Beatles about Texas Tech football, he's got three more segments.
Right.
Get him in. You can also call the Benchmark Hotline, 806-771-0973.
This has been the End of the Bench podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 107thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.